For federal contractors, summer vacations can be problematic. That's because the start of summer also brings the last fiscal quarter and the scramble to use funds before they run out. It's a more concentrated issue this year because of how late Congress approved the 2017 budget. For a look at the next 11 or so weeks, we turn to David Berteaux, President and CEO of the Professional Services Council. And David, is there going to be a bigger mad scramble in the next few weeks than even normal?
Tom, thanks for having me on. That's what history would tell us is going to happen here, because that's typically the case. And as you pointed out, they haven't had as much time, and a number of agencies actually received a higher level of appropriations, or appropriations in different categories at higher levels than they had requested in the budget. So the spending plans are behind and the timetable's behind. But there are also other constraints at work here, including, of course, the budget for fiscal year 18 that's up on the Hill, and the FY19 budget that the agencies are working on that would be at lower levels. So you may have some competing dynamics here. One is spend the money you have. The second is no, you're going to be at a lower level, so don't spend it all right now.
It seems like, though, if you are an agency, or if you're trying to sell to an agency, you should try to get something new started now, because even if there's less money, once it's a program is in place, then at least it can be justified under a continuing resolution and then maybe a smaller budget.
That's a very good point, and there are a lot of new initiatives that the agencies have been working on, and some new opportunities. The Modernizing Government Technology Act and the fund associated with that for modernization not only is useful for the content covered by that bill itself, obviously it's not law yet, but perhaps more importantly from the broader perspective of let's modernize technology in order to save money over the long run. You saw that coming out of Jared Kushner's Office of American Innovation with the meetings in Washington a couple of weeks ago, and you see huge opportunities there going forward. So I think that's useful. Plus, it's most likely that we end up starting fiscal year 18 on October 1st under a continuing resolution, which has the constraints of no new starts. So this is the time to move forward on the new initiatives that are important to the administration.
It's almost as if the fiscal year and the congressional appropriations process are offset by about 6 months, basically.
Yeah. I'm old enough that I remember when fiscal year started on July 1st instead of October 1st. And, of course, when we passed the Budget Reform Act and we had that transition quarter, we thought, oh, now we've got 3 more months. It'll never fill up. I think it took 2 years before we were late. And we've been late almost every year ever since.
Yeah, maybe they should undo that one and go back to the old system. But, reform always brings two ways. And I guess for agencies that are using GSA or people, again, selling through it, there is a new regime at the Federal Acquisition Service, and we really don't know what that's going to look like yet.
No, we don't know what the future will look like, but I think that the operations are ongoing in a stable manner going forward. And actually, you make a good point. Just because the agency has to obligate the funds doesn't necessarily mean the funds will be expended by the end of the fiscal year. So we may well see, particularly for contractors who are expecting to have an end-of-year spending episode going on here, it may be that the funds are obligated by moving them onto contract vehicles, but they're not necessarily expended on individual programs or paying individual invoices.
Now, last week, the reorganization plans that had been ordered early in the Trump administration were due to the Office of Management and Budget. That was a June 30th deadline. And I guess astute contractors, especially in the services area that you represent, would look at these very carefully and see what the opportunities might be.
I think we would love to have a chance to take a good look at those things. One would expect that the preliminary plans that were submitted on June 30th will be reflected in the final plans that are due in September, along with the fiscal year 19 budget. I don't anticipate, Tom, that those plans will be made public. On the other hand, the Congress has been asking a lot of questions about these in the ongoing budget hearings, and they'll be trying to take advantage of those or counter them, depending on the point of view, in the appropriations markups that are going on even as you and I are speaking here.
So you've got lots of cups of tea leaves to read, basically, right now.
Oh, we've got a whole tray full of tea.
We're speaking with David Berteaux, President and CEO of the Professional Services Council. And there's also something that was introduced in Congress, a lowest price technically acceptable bill, which I don't think is yet into the defense authorization drafts for 2018. What do you know about the LPTA bill, and what are you looking for there?
Well, this bill was introduced back in June by Congressman Don Beyer and Congressman Mark Meadows, which is a good public service combination there. And it focuses on the civilian agencies, and it basically says you can use low-price, technically acceptable contract vehicles when it's appropriate. And it goes on to define appropriateness, both in terms of making sure that the characteristics are there so that technically acceptable is, in fact, all you really need. And it outlines a number of examples where the lowest technical acceptability probably isn't the best bargain for the government, things like engineering services, cybersecurity, or even training policemen in Afghanistan, where you don't necessarily want the minimum possible competence. You actually want the highest possible competence for the price. And it would extend on beyond. There's another benefit to the bill, and that is a requirement to report on the number of LPTA contracts that are issued. One of the problems is that there's no good data, on even inside the government, on how often they use the LPTA contracts, and therefore you can't actually track the results. Did you get what you paid for in the course of that contract, or were there disappointments because you went to the lowest possible price? It's important to have that information to be able to actually shape policy correctly, both at the individual contract level and in the aggregate. For DOD, there was actually language in last year's Authorization Act, fiscal year 17, and the Meadows-Byers bill mirrors roughly the same language that was in DOD. And interesting, Tom, that language really drew from the internal guidance memorandum that DOD had already issued, but which was not being widely followed. And so if you're not going to follow the memorandum, maybe you'll follow the law.
Yeah, pretty much that's the mode of Washington. Give us a statute, and then agencies really sit up and take notice. With respect to the types of contracts and the number of them that are LPTA, that doesn't show up in procurement databases. I'm thinking of the Data Act now, which just had its first milestone. Maybe that's the next zone of data that they could incorporate into that so people could tell contract types as well as just spending and by whom.
That would be our hope. In fact, the idea behind the reporting requirement is the best way to report is, in fact, to capture that data for all the hundreds of thousands of contract actions that the government undertakes each year. There is nowhere in the federal procurement data system, nothing in the Data Act reporting that captures that right now. And we at PSC have built a preliminary database of a number of contracts back over the last few years. But in order to do that, we've literally had to go into specific solicitations and look at the solicitation and the evaluation criteria and build that database up. GAO tried to look at this a few years back. They had a great deal of difficulty, and one of their recommendations was that the government would do a better job of identifying and tracking LPTA contracts. I think GAO only managed to find under two dozen of these things, and it was a huge amount of effort to do so. Well, that's not going to work over the long run. You've got to build this into your regular reporting system and into your regular policy process.
It sounds like the Beyer and Meadows, and that is a strange pair of bedfellows, but good for them, really seems aimed at getting agencies to look at painting or janitorial or grounds maintenance, those kinds of things, which you can go with LPTA.
Right. As a former undersecretary said, you really wouldn't buy brain surgery based on the lowest price surgeon.
Right. So even if it's left to agency discretion in a statute, it still seems like there'd be a lot of wiggle room because you can't possibly name every possible service in a statute.
That's correct. And I don't think you want to eliminate that wiggle room. I really do think the agencies need to tailor this to their needs. What you want is a clear recognition of that judgment along the way. We've seen cases where bids will be opened and the lowest price will be submitted to the judging authorities, who will then be asked, well, is this good enough? And they won't even see the other bids. Well, that makes no sense whatsoever. How can you do a fair evaluation and comparison without looking at all the bids?
Well, it's good fodder for more protests.
Absolutely, in those kinds of circumstances. And I think that's one of the issues that we'd like to see is the government define its requirements well enough and really look at defining the outcomes that they want to measure, not just the input, because price is only part of that equation, obviously. Ability to deliver on the services necessary to keep the government going and to accomplish the mission. That ability should have paramount importance in making contract evaluations and awards and in performing the contract.
All right. David Berto is president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And I look forward to continuing these conversations as we move forward.
All right. We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.